This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front-runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Pressing On by Reliant K, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Yamakit
Diego. Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
I love to beat
everything.
Any of that noodle thing left?
Wanna get in the bathtub?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Stop doing it!
Satan! Bite the dust.
Well, how do you feel about that, devil?
I'm a feeling mighty low.
Good.
Whoa!
We had to pay tribute. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have Good Christian Fun. That, of course, was a tribute to one of our fallen soldiers, Carman, who passed away. This is our first main feed episode we've recorded since his passing and Mr. Limbaugh's passing.
Yes,
as well.
Patreon subscribers got a heavy amount of discourse on the finale of Carman.
We had a
Kevin
memorial
put
service.
It.
I don't know if listeners were old enough to remember the Princess Diana memorial service from the 90s, Elton John's Candle in the Wind. We did our version of that already for these
exactly.
great men who we love and co-sign everything they've ever done and said.
So the little snippet of the Rush Limbaugh guitar solo in the theme song. I don't like that you did that. That was very triggering for me.
Yes, and the goal is that a bunch of listeners will be triggered and our numbers will plummet. It's called separating the wheat from the chaff.
That's right.
How much trauma can you withstand?
Can you press on?
Can you? Hey, come on. Oh, my Lord. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies and the music and the entertainment made for and made by Christians and sometimes just about Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you. No, no, no. We're not here to make you go to church. No, no, no. We're not here for an altar call or an invitation to Bible study. But we are here to have... You know what? I'm not going to dox what this was, but I was in a group Zoom context that was not religious. It was irreligious last night, but it was of a tenor that felt so similar to being back in Bible study in terms of listening to people politely who may or may not have senses of humor and having good resting listening face and yet like yes and affirmations and snaps. I was in that context again. And even for those of us a little de-churched, you can't enter into it voluntarily if you want to for some reason. I don't know why you would.
And Kevin just withering on the vine of like 10 minutes of sincerity. It just hurts. You know, it's hard. It's tough.
Oh, come on. I can be a sincere person. I will say I was the only one who was playing with his virtual background during the proceedings.
Kind of your calling card.
They didn't seem to like that. They didn't know who the person behind me that I'm displaying right now was, which is, of course, pop star and singer.
Embarrassing for them.
Allie.
Yeah. Consider the source.
Caroline, your heart good? How's your heart?
My heart's good. How's your heart?
You know what? I am disappointed that Allie didn't consider the source. And Jackson Maine should have considered the source of the criticism about him from that evil British producer man who made him, you know, hangy-wangy at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, wow, not a great way to put that. But I think that Allie really did consider the source. And the source was being true to herself and liking people in their genes. And so, actually, she's a great example of considering the source of her own power.
It's really Jackson that didn't consider the source enough is what we're finding.
Yeah, he lost touch with the source. It's the source is what's inside of your heart.
That's absolutely true. I think that's why Mr. Baldwin was trying to communicate in that video that he put out. The source we're considering today, though, is early aughts punk pop nostalgia in the form of a song called Pressing On by Reliant K. We're doing singles ministry. It's Reliant K, our favorite Rhodes Scholar, Matt Thiessen, back in the mix again. He's here to give us some insights.
Are you smarter than Matt Thiessen?
Are you smarter than a Thiessen by Jeff Thiessen. Foxworthy? Coming to Fox.
A question we always try to answer.
Ooh. But we're not here to do this alone. We do need the help of a special guest, a very special guest for a multitude of reasons, friends and folks. She is a singer-songwriter. You may know her from her excellent series on Refinery 29 or her new EP, Preacher's Kid. You gotta give it the hell up for Grace Semler
Baldwin. Yeah, baby.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Back.
I'm really honored to be here again on almost the exact year anniversary.
Let's talk about that. Yes, we were talking about how the Lord does work in mysterious, beautiful, serendipitous ways. Grace was our last guest we saw in the flesh, not over Zoom.
Yeah.
It was the last person we recorded with in our studio / Caroline's living room. And, that
and
was
we
it.
Were all afraid, and we didn't know if we could hug or touch. And
it's
we
very
were,
confusing.
We didn't. We did not.
We did not.
And do you guys remember my very embarrassing attempt at safety as well?
You put socks on the microphones.
I didn't put socks. Yeah.
You put your
put
husband's
clean
crusty
bandanas.
Socks on the microphone.
Yeah.
Clean bandanas. And I do remember Grace very graciously said, if you guys need toilet paper, let me know. Because it was already at
that
point.
Nice.
It was already at if you need toilet paper, let me know point.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Well, it was, we really didn't know what was coming. Mm-mm. And so we'd already scheduled that we were going to be recording together. So I wanted to honor that appointment, but it was just getting to that point of like, you shouldn't be seeing people.
Right.
But we didn't know. I mean, maybe it was like probably March 16th or 15th or something like that. It was pretty early on.
We recorded on March the 12th and then we locked down like 3 days later.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And my wife was so anxious when I left to go meet with y'all.
Oh,
it was like, and it was rainy too.
No.
Remember, it was all rainy. It was very ominous here in LA. So it really did feel like I left and I was like, farewell, my sweet. Like, I didn't know like what anything meant. I was like, yeah, exactly. Going to brave the plague. And obviously, it's really wonderful to be back with y'all again, almost exactly a year later. But it is very surreal as well that just like looking back on the last time that we were together, it was a different time.
Very surreal. I am,
it's very strange. Very strange that like this is where we are a year later.
I know. But we've gotten so used to this format. I'm sad to not be in the same room as my friends, but also I'm not like, this sucks. Like, I'm like, this works. We're having fun. We laughed a whole lot before we turned the mics on, weirdly enough, you know?
So, it feels a lot more natural than I would have like predicted.
Yeah, oddly enough, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
You remember how easy it was for your brain to get used to constant notifications for the rest of your life about 10 to 15 years ago? Now your brain is getting used to constant people over screens for the rest of your life, perhaps.
Also, my sister has like a baby son who he's only, I think, a year and a half old now. And like he only really sees me on FaceTime, but he smiles and he's like happy to see me. And I'm like, this is what he thinks aunties are. Like it's someone on a screen, you know, that talks to him briefly and then hangs up, you know. It's crazy.
I realize I can use the pandemic as an excuse for me being too lazy to travel to see my brother and his family, because I've not seen them in quite a long time. And I will say, like, yeah, I just, you know, I miss seeing my niece and nephews.
Safety.
Amen. And I miss my sister-in-law and brother. And people can say, like, yeah, so has it been like a year? I'm like, no, it's been 4 years. You know, this damn pandemic. It would have just been 3, I promise you. I'm so glad nothing happened to you, Grace, like in the course of you doing our dumb show last year. Like, imagine someone dying for a podcast, falling in the line of fire.
I hope to die for this podcast.
I think we all started thinking about that, you know, like, is this the thing that, is this the risk that is going to mean that I'm risking either my life or the people in my household or like my friends and family that I see? Mm-hmm. And I do love y'all very much, but had I gotten sick from Good Christian, I'm not sure that we would be doing this again. I would have been like, I hate this podcast. I'm never doing it again. But thanks to Caroline's bandanas, here we are.
the safety was all-time high.
The first line welcome. Of defense. Our
you're
little
welcome.
Soldier.
I am an essential worker. I am a protector. I'm a healer.
Man, and our lives have just changed so much in the last year, haven't they? There's measurable progress for all three of us that we can talk about. Accomplishments that all three of us have done.
Chart-topping, incredible breakthroughs.
I will say, Grace, you were telling us about your piece for Refinery29 that at the time had not come out. It came out 3 months later, which was The Dark State of Christian Music.
Right.
In which you interviewed people who had left the Christian music scene or were forced out, in Dan Hasseltine's case from Jars of Clay. And that piece came out so, so well, and people should check it out. It's really lovely.
Yeah. And I remember being really excited about that because obviously I grew up on Christian media and Christian music. And I really was excited to sort of check back in with the industry and sort of see what is going on there now and sort of how exclusionary and regressive, in my opinion, has it become, and who are people that are being left out and who are people that want to break in. And I am really pleased with how that episode turned out. And then again, sort of like right after that, we went into lockdown and I'm alone with my thoughts with a piano and a guitar. And I started writing a Christian record about my own frustrations with the Christian music industry. So it really has come full circle. And then Preacher's Kid came out at the beginning of February.
Yes. And watching that piece now, the video piece that you did for Refinery29, it's such a origin story and prequel to the EP Preacher's Kid, because everyone's saying there's got to be someone who can have a voice. And in the piece, for those, and everyone should watch it, but for those that haven't watched it, Grace, and then who is your first interview subject in that?
First interview was with Lauren Deleary, who was in a band called Love Collide. And they were sort of forced out of the Christian music industry when they came out as feminists and sort of pushing against purity culture. They were like, no, like this is not allowed. And so she and I have stayed in touch as well. And we have since wrote music together, and we're I consider her a good friend of mine. And we were having these conversations of I can't believe there isn't this space. This is so shitty. We need to have more diverse perspectives in a genre. This is the only genre where this is allowed to just be so exclusionary. And, you know, and now, I don't know, I it kind of feels like it all sort of happened to me. I don't really remember writing even some of the songs, and then it just spat out and there it is. It's on the top of the Christian music charts. It's very strange.
Well, we wanted to have you back on for regular reasons, and that's been a year, and we loved having you on the last time. Also, we got tagged on every single TikTok you've done for the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because, like, because of that, I have kept track of, like, all of the progress of your album, which I don't resent, but it was just funny. Like, every time I would get, like, three tags consistently. Like, have you guys seen this? Like, you should have her on the show.
Do you
show.
Know this person? Have her on the show for the first time ever.
And which is great. I do appreciate when people do that, but it was funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know her.
And Preacher's Kid, the EP, is very GCF core in terms of dealing with sexuality, dealing with hypocrisy, dealing with
short-term missions trips.
Yes.
Lock-ins.
Yes, the lock-in song in particular is a favorite of mine. And yeah, and then talk about, I do want to talk about what some headlines called your GameStop move, to put it as a Christian genre. And then maybe,
well, I can't take credit for that. It was someone else's idea, but basically I think the Christian music industry has sort of acted beyond reproach in how exclusionary they have been for so long. And it's because it's never really been challenged, because there are only certain labels that are Christian centered. So entering in as an independent artist, I just submit this on like DistroKid and really going at this. I recorded it on this mic. This is my only piece of like tech equipment. Like it's Whoa. This. And
like
I,
Bruce
actually,
Springsteen making Nebraska on his, four track recorder in New Jersey.
I was
going to
say that. Yeah. In New Jersey.
We were all going
to
say
there you
that.
Go. Very similar to that. Very similar to Bruce Springsteen. The comparison comes up all the time. Anyway, so because I was able to submit it independently, I didn't have to go through those gatekeepers who would have turned me down, who would have been like, no, you can't sing this on in Christian music. Like, this is not allowed. And I think that sort of got people excited about sticking it to the quote unquote man, because the Christian music industry is not run by God and the Lord. It's run by typically cis, straight, older white men who are really, really rich and don't really want you to know that they're operating just beyond any sort of level of accountability, because they can just shuck it off and be like, no, I'm operating in service of the kingdom. But actually, like, you're just kind of being a really horrible person and being very like oppressive and marginalizing to people who want to be heard. So I think in that sense, people were like, by supporting this record, I mean, there are people that were like, I really am not a Christian and I don't care. And I honestly don't like love this record, but I want to buy it because I think it's like, it kind of makes a bit of a statement to an industry that probably needs to hear it. And I'm like, that's great. I don't expect everyone to like my music. And I'm still here for just like having a go at it. And I hope that my example will encourage other people who feel like that there's no space for them in Christian music to write their own projects and put it out independently, and know that people will champion you, and that your stories deserve to be heard, and that you shouldn't limit what genre feels true to your expression just because certain people in positions of power are telling you that like you're not valid. Like, that's bogus. And I think it's okay to like force that hand a little bit. And so in that sense, it is like game stopping. Or the other comparison that I heard too was sort of like Lil Nas X with country music. Because Old Town Road is absolutely a country song, but in comparison to other country songs that you're hearing on country radio today, they're all using trap beats and trap drums with country instrumentation. That's Old Town Road. That's a country song. And he sort of forced their hand in that conversation. It's a similar type of thing that we're doing now of like, I'm talking about a Christian faith from a queer perspective, from a different perspective. I'm theologically different than evangelicals, and I'm allowed to be here. Mm. Come at me. Like that type of thing.
I imagine like a big part of this, like the success of getting to the top of it too, will be able to prove not to these labels that you necessarily even would want to have, like be representation or whatever, or like represent future queer Christian artists or whatever, but to prove that it is financially viable as well, which is like what it all comes down to at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Well, because that's what I was told to my face by a Christian music executive, was that there was no market for these stories, that this does not come up. Their audience is not interested in this, and it just doesn't like exist. And I think that we've shown by going number one, Yeah, it does. People are really interested in having complicated conversations about faith and wrestling through a toxic Christian upbringing. I mean, hello, this entire podcast, the community yes. that y'all have built. It's so gaslighting for people to say, this doesn't happen, this doesn't exist, everyone's really hunky-dory and happy, and that's probably just a you problem, and you should go to the singer-songwriter chart. It's like, no, I'm writing about God, I'm writing about my experience with God and people who pray to the same God that I do that then turned around and abused me, so you have to listen, and I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And while it's just been a breeze, it's just been so fun. But, no, it has been very rewarding, but it also has been taxing in ways as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. On the subject of the charts, Caroline, it is time for a segment we've done on the show before, which is, hey, what's going on with Lauren Daigle?
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Daigle has been unseated from the iTunes charts for number one. She's been up there for a couple of years. Whenever that
number two,
whenever Look Up Child came out, however many years ago, maybe 2018 at this point, maybe
I think it was 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you took a Daigle bite out of her
for a week.
Share.
We just got her for, it was just about a week, but it was still a significant week. I mean, that record, it's been on the top of the Christian charts for, like Heaven was saying, years. It's like
which is insane.
Yeah, she's like the biggest
truly no
star
bigger,
of Christian
like,
music.
Other big Christian album that could like unseat her. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it's a good album. I liked it personally myself, but just like, wow.
Has she sent you an edible arrangement saying, congrats, sister, welcome to the charts? Has she reached?
Yeah. Oh,
no. Shocking.
But I really wonder, I think the other thing that I think about too is by increasing visibility of other people of faith who fall outside of these like rigid like parameters, whether it's like through purity culture or toxic masculinity or you're queer or something like that. I think by forcing visibility, I'm hopeful that people who are privately affirming will sort of view this as like an invitation to be open with how you feel. Because I've heard so many people and people have like slid into my DMs and been like, I need this to be confidential. I can't say this publicly, but like, this is how I feel and I support you.
And who are those people real quick?
Exactly. So I have a list. And I think that that's encouraging because it means that like people are like looking for those conversations. But I think it's also frustrating because it makes me think like, okay, how big do I need to get? I recorded this EP at home. How much support do I need or do other artists like me need before you think it is socially acceptable and you've weighed the business decision to come forward and do the right thing?
Yes.
So I think that that's like what I'm kind of wondering with Lauren and with like John Foreman and like Matt Thiessen, like other really prominent Christian artists, if they are affirming. If they're not, then like this doesn't really apply. But if they are affirming, I'm wondering like how much visibility are we going to need
before you feel safe? Yeah.
Before you feel safe enough to like come forward and support us.
Which is, it's frustrating also on the level of like, if they are even privately affirming or whatever, it's like, do you want an audience that would abandon you for like, you know, affirming the queer experience?
Right,
like,
right.
Or do you want to keep those people if that's the reason that has kept you, you know, in your quietness?
Well, they got houses
in your
too,
silence.
You know, so that's the unfortunate kind of ugly consideration.
They've got what too, you said?
Houses, mortgages, rent.
Right.
what it reminds me of, some of this applies, some of it doesn't, but the kind of thing I thought I would never see that we saw a little bit in terms of capitalist meeting social justice concerns with corporations like Nike or the NFL being like, we actually do believe Black Lives Matter and we're all for this,
yeah.
is because
yeah.
it became financially and culturally untenable to not say that. So what
yes.
is it, Christian? Because it took a horrific tragedy and then an uprising in a true authentic grassroots movement for that to happen mm-hmm. in the former experience. So in this experience and what you're talking about with where queerness and Christianity meet, what will it take? Is it going to be these incremental things, these like small mm-hmm. little things that eventually add up? Will it be like, yes, granular over time, or will there be these huge seismic events that then push the Overton window all the way over? If I'm using the
yeah.
phrase Overton window correctly.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I wonder as well. And I think that's sort of what I'm very determined to continue pressing on about, if you will, because I want to know. And I feel like there's something sort of transpired in my life. I am a person of faith, so I do believe in sort of I've been talking to my wife about it. It's so weird how like it really feels like God's hand was sort of over this entire situation, where I went to Nashville filming a documentary series not knowing that it would eventually inspire this EP that I'm working on, and now I'm writing all the time and I'm so inspired to continue sort of pushing this issue that I didn't even know was going to be on my heart a year or two ago. Like, I had no idea. And so I think that I am now asking the exact same thing, Kevin, of like, how hard do I need to work, knowing that I'm like kind of ready for it? For some reason, this is just like, because I think that culture and music specifically really does shape social change, and it really does inform structural change and systemic change, which is something I'm very passionate about. So how can I do my part through writing this music to have Christian leaders, Christians with a platform, use that platform to lessen the harm that has been done to a marginalized community? And I think that I've sort of figured something out, and I'm just sort of writing about that and exploring that, because it just sucks that someone with the platform like a Lauren Daigle or a John Foreman wouldn't recognize that, like, you could save a kid's life. Like, you could, like, you have no idea that, like, your music, unfortunately, is the soundtrack to someone's trauma right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So kind of like consider what role you're playing in this, and then how incredible it would be to just be overt with what you believe. If that's what you believe. Again, if they're not actually not affirming, then like none of this applies.
Yes. Well, right. I mean, yeah, yes, definitely in terms of taking a stand, you could mitigate a lot of hurt and pain, and you could save a kid's life. And then in Lauren Daigle and Sean Fugg's case, you could probably end a person's life too with a maskless rally, as they are continuing to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's also like, even for them on a personal level, like, I want their internal values to align with like the person that they're presenting as well. Like, that is also painful for them, if we're going to feel sorry for these artists as well. And I think it will take a big artist like finally turning, or it'll take a big church like finally turning, honestly, like a Hillsong or like something like that, because you're right, like in the Christian music industry, and also in this like pop church industry also, it is still accepted that they are non-affirming of like gay people and queer people, which is just so much of secular culture is like, you know, eons past that at this point. And it's so bizarre and frustrating that like, yeah, that this is still socially acceptable and so popular mainstream Christian stuff. And I know that has to be double frustrating for you. And I also like respect deeply that you're like, yeah, I'll take up this crusade. Like, I will do this. It's inspiring. I like it. And also, like, I am ready for the fight, and I will keep going and like force the conversation. And I appreciate that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It means a lot to hear, because sometimes it's like kind of like good days and bad days. Like, sometimes something will come across my radar. I really try and tune things out, and I'm pretty good at it. But sometimes something will come across like last night that just was like annoying. And I am really fortunate that the majority of the people in my life that I know, like my friends and, you know, people that are supporting what I'm doing, have been so encouraging. And that does kind of go a long way, because people can be quite nasty on, I don't know if you've heard, but the internet. No. Sometimes it can be yikes. Watch out.
Yeah.
Big yikes.
Oh, I wanted to ask, because you've done a brilliant job marketing yourself on TikTok and marketing this album and everything. Do you feel like you've gotten different reactions on like your Twitter promotion versus like the TikTok audience?
Yes.
Oh, can you tell me about that? I'm really curious about like,
well,
what that's like.
TikTok is, oh, my favorite. I love TikTok. It's my favorite app right now. I don't want to jinx it, but I've really been enjoying it. My algorithm
The listener at home, Caroline just gave a "you're welcome" gesture. Like, she invented TikTok.
She
the
did.
Video. She was like, of course.
Kevin, please, please rewind the tapes for like, I don't know, 4 months ago when you're like, TikTok is bullshit.
I never
like
said
that.
TikTok was BS. I never said that. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, my algorithm is just like chef's kiss. I actually share an account with my wife, because we kind of got it skeptically when quarantine started. Like, oh, let's just check it out. We didn't really think we'd get into it. And now it's mostly me on there, but also we get a little like Lizzie content, which is great. The people love some Lizzie content. It's like her making a lobster roll, being extremely cute. And then it's me like raging about Christian music. So it's a wide ranging. it's a good mix of things. But I like TikTok has been really encouraging. I love seeing other people's creativity. Like people will, if I put like a snippet of a song, people will duet it with their harmonies. I've had people like clip out sections of my song and turn it into a totally different song for themselves, which I think is just brilliant. And then Twitter and Instagram have not been, they've mostly been good. Like, honestly, I'm really fortunate that most of it has been very supportive and encouraging and people who are resonating with this project. But I get a lot more sort of like block chunks of Bible verses on Instagram and on Twitter. Yeah. And
from Justin Bieber. Specifically from
Justin Bieber.
Mr. Harry Baldwin.
And YouTube has also been kind of a hellscape. I turned off my notifications because I did a really sweet little release show for my project. My friend who used to work at a mega church did the smoke and mirrors thing, harnessed his powers for good. Like, he's a really good friend of mine. He like put on my release show and it looks we put on such an amazing release show. I was really proud of it. I was a little nervous. I'm new to singing publicly, so like I was nervous. It's not my best vocal performance, that I will allow. And on that video, it's just it became YouTube would like just all the notifications would pop up and be like disgusting, abomination, like like all this stuff was just like popping up. And Lizzie was like, you have to turn that off because it was like just like going
just
and going.
Just a long list of cruelty.
Yes, just a long list of names. And so
I feel like there's a lot of precedent for abuse and harassment on YouTube and of course on Twitter and someone on Instagram. I don't know what the big harassment cases are.
Well,
on
you
TikTok
can harass on TikTok, but TikTok also limits the length of your comments, which I think somehow like stops people from being able to go on a diatribe. But
it's
you can still get definite hate, that's for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you only get like, I think, 30 words or something like that.
Yes,
it's like
because
pretty slim.
I have maxed it out many times.
When she was leaving,
which is really helpful because people will write essays in like an Instagram comment. Absolute essays. And so I need to get better, and I don't know what y'all's philosophy on this is, but I would be interested to learn. I think I've just sort of decided that I'm going to quietly just block people. I'm not going to respond to anything. I don't want to like extend that amount of energy. But I also think that if they're coming to my page and writing out like so much stuff, then for them, I think it's smart to block them as well, and kind of a considerate thing because they're spending so much energy just being mean to me. Mm. They can't feel good about that, of doing that. That doesn't like fill you in with any level of joy or contentment. So I'd rather just like, I'm going to block you so you can like go back to your life and tend to your friends and family. You know, like it's not that I'm triggered. I'm not going to stay up all night, and it would be fine if I was triggered by you like spewing hate at me. It's not really that. It's just that like this isn't productive for any party. No one is coming out of this feeling good.
Yeah. I love that you're like, you know, I'm going to actually set a boundary for you as well. Like, you won't even
it's
be
for
able
their
to,
benefit
like,
ultimately.
Or it's going to slow them down. Like, they're going to have to go find me on another platform.
They're
going to
find
really
me on YouTube and I don't know how to turn off those. Like, I'm so confused with how they keep finding
you
me.
You can't
there.
Block people on a YouTube video like from commenting or viewing your video.
Maybe you can, but the comments were kind of so mean that I just didn't even want to go to each single one.
Oh,
they
like
also
figure it
they,
out.
So basically I think a few people made videos about the project, which is how they like got sent over to my sweet little release show in my living room. And so it made me like especially sad because I really was doing my best at this show, and it was just like people being like, you sound like a dying cow and you're going to hell.
Now, which one of those things hurt more?
Actually, it was, it's, you know, touche.
Yeah,
I do have a cow tattoo, so I come by that honestly. So I was a little bit like, what do you know about me? Like, that I sound like a dying cow.
Disrespect for cows, I'd say.
Yeah, but because it was so overwhelming, I didn't want to go through every single comment and like block all of them.
That's
because there was more of them than there was of me.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. It's totally fine. I hope they don't listen to this because I don't want them to know that I noticed, because I haven't responded to anything.
Hey, if any of you are listening to this or hate listening to this, Grace actually didn't even know what you said, and we don't even care, and we're not even talking about you. We're talking about another video.
It was a different YouTube video for a different release show.
And you should go spend some time on yourself.
That's a nice kind of built-in protection against true trolls as far as podcast content goes, because it's so deeply embedded in an hour and a half long audio file.
Yeah, there's no transcript of our podcast either.
Copy and paste or clip something out or plug it in. You know, it's pretty critic proof as far as that goes, which is why we've thrived.
I feel very safe. Thank you.
They'd have to put in the work.
Yes.
At that point, they're a fan. Come on. At that point.
Yeah, at that point, they're like, okay, you know what? This is my base.
Yeah, like if they're 45 minutes in.
You're Hey Arnold and they're Helga for sure, if that's the case. Like, come on. Let's be honest. Let's not kid around
about it.
So
But the positive is that your EP is great, and I really enjoyed like the specificity of some of your lyrics and everything, and that you really accomplished that idea of like, I'm going to insist that my faith is here, it is Christian, and it is unique, and it is queer, and it is complicated, and there's questions and all of that stuff, and I thought you did that beautifully.
Thank you. That means a lot to hear. I really appreciate that.
Yes. I think Jesus from Texas is maybe my favorite song.
Thank you. I think the first one that I wrote for the project, like not knowing what the project was. I was going through something with a friend of mine, and it was like pretty bad, and it was around the election, and I was talking to my mom about that and how she didn't remember Stonewall, and I just remember being like, that's cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
Because that was a major like cultural reset that you were fully like living your life for. It wasn't like you were 12, you're 20 years old. So I think that's interesting that like that song seems to be a lot of people's favorite as well, because that was truly just a stream of consciousness song of like, this is what's happening in my life, and like, this is the place I'm writing from. And then everything else sort of flowed from that expression.
I feel like I am so, in so many ways, the target audience in particular for an EP like this. Not even just like the content like we're talking about, but also musically. This is so up my alley. It's freaking got an address there. And especially just like some of the production stuff and the stripped down spare acoustic stuff is totally my thing. And
even, it's like grungy acoustic is how I say it. Like grungy, like mixtape acoustic type of feel.
Totally. It's like, very what if Julian Baker had a little more specific older sister or something like that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love Julian Baker, so I do love that comparison. That and Bruce Springsteen, I hear it all the time.
Julian and Bruce. Well, Julian loves Bruce, so there is a direct line. I've listened to full podcasts where she's talked about like Darkness on the Edge of Town is my favorite album, and here's why.
So
that's not nonsense. That there is something to that.
You're in the family.
I know. Everyone buy a Jeep listening to this, and don't drink and drive also. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to read some of my favorite lyrics, especially from that song, which is, I cut my hair because I'm worth it. And these days I believe in Bigfoot more than God, because who's he hurting? Another couple, he goes, my best friend found God, so we lost touch. I guess a savior beats a friend who thinks you're good enough. I hope she finds love and peace. And if her kid comes out, I hope that she calls me. That's the sort of thing I don't know if it's been put into song before you did it. I don't want to overstate that, but that's just not something I've heard before. And that that particular breed of heartbreak that a lot of us know, and especially you and your own personal experience have known by being the kind of person existing in the space that you have. So it's a real gift to put into music, and we really appreciate it and listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It expresses a lot of relationships I've had too. So yeah, I get that.
I'm oddly emotional. That means so much to like all full circle, like hearing you like read lyrics back to me after like just being on your podcast, like the timing of it all, it just feels like very, I don't know. It's just like, it kind of warms my heart. And I don't know. I just really appreciate you guys. And I really appreciate that you enjoyed the project. And I'm so grateful that you're sharing it on your podcast as well. So
it deserves it. I mean, half the audience is already into it and it's saying like, have y'all heard this? And
we're like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was a demand we had to answer.
It was a demand. People were placing demands.
We had to make it happen.
People were threatening to cancel.
So you're saying that you do owe GCF a great deal of your maybe inspiration, success.
You're credited in the liner notes for sure.
Okay, thank you.
If you read, it's like small print, but you're in there.
I haven't gotten gotten a copy of that liner.
It's around. I'll get that to you. I'll run that to you. I'm just gonna Photoshop it real quick, and I'll get that your way.
Well, the EP is Preacher's Kid. Where do you prefer people listen to it? Do you prefer that people buy it on iTunes? Because we'll tell them to do that.
I'll tell you what. So we already climbed the iTunes Christian music charts. I have a new goal, if any listeners are trying to help me. We are trying to break into Billboard Christian, which is going to be very difficult. So with that in mind, stream it on Spotify if you can. All streaming helps. All of it really does. Mm-hmm. It really, really does. But Spotify specifically reports to Billboard. And so if you are a listener and you're interested in checking this out, Spotify is what I would love to see those streaming numbers kind of go up for. And I want to kind of like almost check the boxes. Like, we did iTunes. Okay, cool. We didn't hear from you. Like, let's try Billboard. Okay, cool. Well, like, how big, basically? Like, I want to like check all of them and see how far we can go. So that would be very, very helpful.
Oh, great. I mean, couldn't be easier. Spotify.
Spotify. There it is.
Anyway. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great.
I know where that is. Hey, we're on Spotify too, Caroline.
That's right. And I've never checked anything about that.
Make a playlist. They give you stats. If you have a podcast, they give you stats. I don't think I've looked at them. I'm sure they're probably sure they're not depressing.
I'm sorry, we're doing business talk over here.
Yeah, we should wrap it up. Grace, you should be proud of this. What a wonderful project. Thank you for making it.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time once again for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
See, Grace, we're both artists here. I wrote that jingle. Oops. We're both artists in equal control of our crafts, as was just straight.
No, I'm the real odd man out here as a musician.
Mm-hmm. We talked about audio adrenaline the last time you were on the show, and I think we touched a little bit on Relying K, but since that time, you've had a little bit of direct personal experience, maybe.
I have in an indirect, but kind of as direct as you can get in COVID, I did collab with the guitarist from Relying K, John Schneck, through a project that I also did on TikTok called Queer Christian Cover Band, where I would just make these like really homespun acoustic 1 minute or less covers of big Christian songs. Mm-hmm. And I did Be My Escape, which was the first cover that I did. And then he sent me a video over Twitter of him like playing a guitar part, and I added it into the final video, and we collabed and we've stayed in touch ever since. And he's very supportive of Preacher's Kid. And there's another guitarist or bassist that was in Relying K also, who's like reached out and stayed in touch. No word from Matt Thiessen yet, but I am not giving up hope. I am truly not. I will not end this crusade until I'm on stage with Matt Thiessen and a pride flag. Is my dream.
I will say, I won't speak too much to his experience, but I believe he is busy getting his PhD in quantum physics right now at Harvard. So he's just very, and books and paper in the library.
You could be extremely right about that, because he's so elusive. Like, even people who I've spoken to who would know, like people who are plugged in, who've like toured with him before, have said that they really don't know what he's up to, and that he kind of does his own thing, and he's a bit of a like sort of a hermit, if you will, and just kind of keeps out of everything, which is perhaps enlightened in a sense. Like, he's not really on social media or anything, but
yes,
I
his last Instagram post
attention.
Was 3 years ago, but we can remain.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
So is he happier without social media? Probably. I don't know. Is he married?
Well,
does he have a family?
Invite him on the show to find out.
We got Kirk Cameron on. Now we can trick other people
Kirk
into
Franklin.
Coming on the... Oh my God, oh, Caroline!
You've been infected with the Caroline disease.
We had Kirk Franklin, different than Kirk Cameron. Holy moly!
Although your jaw did drop for Kirk Cameron in excitement. I'm sorry to see that go, but I think Kirk Franklin was a much better get in a way. And you know, Kirk Cameron, he's moving. You know, he's busy. He's on his way to the frozen state as we speak, probably. Mm-hmm. So you know, he won't be in LA for much longer anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, and we do need him to be in LA for the Zoom connection to work. It will not work if he's out of Los Angeles County.
It's very precarious. That's how internet works.
Absolutely. We've talked about Relying K a little bit. We covered that. Of course, Mood Rings back in the day, way back in the day, almost four freaking years ago. And we talked about the album. We did not talk
me mad
about this song, Pressing On. Caroline, had you heard Pressing On before? Were you familiar with this song?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, from second one upon the re-listen, I was like, here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like this. I was shot back to being in the back of the van with my most Christian friend and her mom, who would always play Christian radio only. And that was kind of a lot of my exposure to CCM in the early days. Otherwise, I did try to avoid it best I could. But yeah, this was everywhere. This was like the song. This was
the moment.
It was the pump up jam.
Yeah. And also, it's one of those songs that was okay in Christian households, but you could kind of fool, as I have experienced doing, your friends into not knowing it was a Christian song, which is crucial if you want to be cool. You could just pretend like it was this indie band they'd never heard of before. And it's not entirely a lie. I mean, they're not like indie at this point, but you could, I remember using this on a high school reel at the end of the semester or something.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
You'd like, yes. Set it to music. And I remember using Pressing On and people were like, oh, what's this song? And I was like, oh, is this little band? Like,
niche.
You wouldn't know them. Yeah, niche. Meanwhile, they're headlining Cornerstone. I was like, you wouldn't know them.
Wait, can I tell my end of the year highlight reel slideshow story
yes.
real quick?
Kevin used to be kind of the video editor of the youth group, not to brag.
I was kind of the video guy. But this is not for youth group. This is for our theater department at Kingwood High School. So this is class of 2006. And in addition to a video that I made for whatever the one act was that year, I also made a slideshow with all the pictures and stuff from all the productions that we showed at this banquet with all the students and their parents in attendance. The song that I picked, though, is a... I needed to pick a song that would, like, last the whole thing, and I didn't even put that much animation on it. It's one I really farted out.
Animation?
Without. I didn't put on any, like, keyframes or any zooms or anything. Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought you were, like, animating this.
Yeah, I didn't put MC Scat Cat in any of the pictures alongside everybody. But it's a song called White Lines. Do you guys know the song White Lines? At all?
I don't know it.
Okay, you might know it from the once the bass comes in.
Oh yeah.
Bass.
Okay. So it's a fun little catchy song that I think I remember watching for the first time on Veronica Mars, the television show starring everyone's favorite Christian Republican, Kristen Bell. It is a song about cocaine.
That's not true.
We don't know it's not true. About Miss Bell? We'll find out. I don't know.
We don't know it's not true?
I don't know. I just get conservative vibes from her. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they were both very silent on election day and on the day that the election was called last year.
Oh, they posted, but it was not the post you'd want to see.
It was silent, though, about the actual issue at hand.
I don't really follow any of them on social media, so I had no idea. That is a sobering thought. Gossip Girl? No.
The Bell Shepherd compound is full of dark secrets, so just know that, you know, you don't need to keep up with them. Please don't follow them, you know, just let it spin out of control eventually on its own.
I'll wait for the Hulu documentary.
The Hulu documentary that's like how Monica Padman escaped, and it's her like talking about how she was
honestly probably.
Ooh, so
she's the one, they'll have to escape her.
White Lines is a song about cocaine, which became abundantly clear 6 minutes into the slideshow when it was just like a lot of sniffing and snorting sound effects set across this like, White Lines, the police is going to come after you, don't do it. And all the parents were just awkwardly shuffling in their chairs and coughing. And it was just like...
Did you not realize it, Kevin, though, when you put that on?
I kind of did, but I thought it wasn't that obvious, but I was wrong. It was a bad judgment call as a 16-year-old boy that I made.
I used to do, like, the opposite, though, with Christian music. I used to try and convince my friends that it was more dangerous, that the subject matter was, like, more sinister than it was in some regard. Like, I tried to convince someone one time that a Five Iron Frenzy song was about big boobs.
Which one?
I can't remember which one, but it was
Ugly Day.
We talked about edgy material also. Pretty bad.
Honkin' Jazz.
Can you imagine just like Five Iron Frenzy and be like, this next one goes out to the boobs?
Honestly, I feel like they would.
Yeah, probably.
They would like own it and make it really fun.
I know, they probably would now, but I remember at the time it was Electric Boogaloo. It was like a song off of that, and I was just really trying to be like, no, this isn't a Christian song. It's a metaphor.
Is it You Can't Handle This? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Her
maybe.
Boobs are so big something. You can't handle them?
I think it might have been that, yeah.
Plan B, Farsight. Oh, there's a lot of contenders on here. But yes.
Exactly. That record was like full of like kind of songs that I could be like, I could, you know, if they don't listen too closely, then like they won't know.
You would massage the questionable material.
Yeah, like I wanted to insert questionable material into Christian music. That's what was what I was trying to do in like middle school and high school. And Pressing On, I didn't even need to do that, which is why I like this song. Yes.
Well, let's take a quick listen to at least a portion of Pressing On from the Anatomy of the Tongue-in-Cheek album from 2001. A sound that I would describe as Amanda Bynes is about to get up to some trouble in the opening credits of her movie.
I think we're going somewhere. We're on to something good here. Out of mind, out of
That's Pressing On from Reliant K.
So good. Still hits.
It still hits. I mean, it's not, it sounds like what it's supposed to sound like. It sounds like they completed the assignment with an A+ grade for what they were going for, right?
Yes.
This is a song.
It was like, we need Sum 41, yes, but we need it to be Christian. And so, like,
they need Sum 41, or as I say, Psalm 41 for Reliant K, okay? Because this is a Christian band, all right? That's the kind of wordplay Matt Thiessen would do if he were on the podcast
yes,
right now.
Yes, that's true. Psalm 41.
Did you guys watch the music video for this song?
Absolutely. Yes. I had it on VHS.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
They made a VHS for that.
Well, they had a Wow Christian Music like VHS of like the hits or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, nice.
Or maybe it was a DVD. I can't remember. But like my dad would like bring home all the Christian content. And I remember when seeing the video for Pressing On and just being like, this is cinema. This is like the highest form of art. These guys are so cool. I thought they were so cool. And definitely not like the weird, because Christian music videos of like the 2000s got very weird because they're so limited in like what they could express. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it was like very, like, do you remember the DC Talk video for Consume Me, which is just so strange?
I do. Like, it's just kind
just
of stumbling around.
In, like, weird godly metaphors. So it was cool to just see like, the Pressing On video is just like a punk video, basically, like a really low budget sort of like punk thing. And the band is performing well and they're like just crushing it and they have fans. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I just remember being very pumped up by this video and being like, this was everything I wanted it to be and more. Thank you. Wow Music.
Yeah. And thank you for representing, you know, bad music around the world, you know, bad, like hard, like cool, like
yeah.
tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and
like
just
dangerous,
like really showing like, yeah, that this is
bad, like Michael
well
Jackson
video.
Bad from that song.
Exactly.
Yeah. The kind of bad we all want to be like Michael Jackson. Yeah. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
We
all affirm that.
I was confused by the video too, because like the adversity that they seem to be going through is their fan base.
Yes.
Like their own fans liking them too much. And then one, like, I guess, hot girl who really thought she was going to make it with Matt, mm-hmm. and they just walk through her almost.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be a Katie Hudson stand-in, do you think? Was that an allegory?
Interesting. I mean, she didn't look like her at all.
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe Matt had a little more taste than Justin did to Britney in whatever year that was that Cry Me a River
came
out.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
very true.
They didn't cast out of respect.
I hadn't thought of that before, but it really is. At the time, I was like, this concept slaps, no notes. I love it so much. But actually, Caroline, you do bring up a good point, which is like, they're pressing on, but the only thing that is in their way are their fans. We yes. just have to. And isn't yes. that a metaphor for Christian music? Like, they just,
wow.
especially for Reliant K, they just have to get through this fan
Prescient.
Base, and then they can maybe start making music and cultivating a fan base that won't, you know, hate them for saying, hey, we should love gay people. Oh my gosh, did we just.
This
is this
the
a
long
deep
analysis?
A long con of Reliant K.
Well, only from the mind of Matt Thiessen, because such a long, incredible.
From the avant-garde. Twisted mind of Matt Thiessen. And it is twisted. It's almost like they have to, maybe another way in the conflicts being framed is that there's so much approval of man,
yes.
which we all know from church, you should hate. If someone gives you a compliment, say, no, that wasn't me, that was all God. You should not
right.
receive. Or like it all, the approval of man. So the fans in the music video is that approval. And they're saying, no, we're pressing on from this. And we're getting.
I think that's absolutely
an approval
yeah,
of
like,
a different sort.
Because mm-hmm. every Christian like entertainer has to somehow square the fact that they are a professional performer that feeds off of attention, but they do not want the attention for themselves
yeah.
at all. You know?
Wait. Imagine a Christian artist, if at the end of every song they say, please clap for God, like after they perform, they're just, people like are applauding, be like, just to be clear, that's not, that's
that
better
for
be
God.
For God. It better not be for the guitar riff that I just did.
God.
Don't you direct that applause at me. Don't you dare applaud me.
You do not have to imagine this. If you go to modern worship services, they say, give it up to the Lord after their songs. They
right.
do make that
and
like
get uproarious.
Give it up to the Lord. And it's like, well, who's freaking hearing it? You know, whoever or whatever church. I almost said it specific, and then I did not. But yes, the only true like clues lyrically that this is in fact a Christian song and not just like, hey man, first period is hard. You're gonna make it to the end of the day. School's out. Like the only thing that's actually sort of Christian nature is the couplet, adversity, we get around it. Search for joy and you, I found it. We get around it and you, I found it. And then in the bridge, you look down on me, but you don't look down on me at all. So either it's God or a tall girl that he's
very
dating.
Tall. Yeah, very tall.
We're talking like an Allison Janney. We're talking friend. Elizabeth DeBakey.
Yeah.
You smile and laugh and I feel the love you have for me. I think you we're going somewhere. We're onto something good here, oh, which does
sorry,
sound
have
romantic.
Have you never heard the laugh of God?
Yeah, God just loves to have a laugh.
Yeah. He's having a laugh all the time.
Ooh, what does God's smile look like? The only way I can imagine that is something really disturbing and scary. Like too many teeth.
Like a biblically accurate depiction of an angel, which is like
every cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
Every cloud in the sky is the tooth of the Lord.
Oh, every God. Sunbeam after a rainstorm.
Yeah.
A tooth of the Lord. That
and the tooth will set you free. I mean, so we're exploring the lyrics of it and we're exploring this rendition of it by Reliant K. But like so many other songs in the Christian canon and then the secular canon, the meaning changes depending on who the artist is doing it. And so we have compiled for, maybe this is going to be a new segment, Caroline, where it's kind of like the cover corner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's you, Grace. But
oh, yeah, that's the one that they hate.
Going to different covers.
This
pressing.
Is also the part of the show where Kevin bullies someone with a really low view count on YouTube.
It's not bullying if you don't say their names. It's only audio. And who's to say it's bullying? We're listening to different covers. So this is a cover from Pressing On, or a cover of Pressing On from 2013. This is a trio. One of them is drumming a computer box. One of them is on a small guitar. And one of them is standing in the middle. Let's hear what this sounds like. It's going to be quiet at the beginning. I think we're going somewhere. We're on to something good here. Out of mind, out of sight. Trying to keep my head on straight. I think we're going somewhere. We're on to something good here. There's only one. Drop all I have and go with you. Somewhere back there, I left my worries all behind. My problems fell out. I like this. This is sick. Mind. We're going and I'm never knowing, never knowing where we're going. Go back to where I was. Just be wrong. I'm pressing on, pressing on. And so on and so forth.
Okay, that guy is a front man. He like, you can just imagine if he was on stage with like a crowd, he is like feeding off of the energy of just that empty garage and serving.
Absolutely. He sold it. And the comments do attest to that as well as we can see.
Oh, everybody's feeling that lead singer.
You guys are pretty cute. Quite a few ukulele covers of this.
Yeah, well.
Oh. Out of mind, out of state.
Kind of a Jack Johnson approach.
I think they worshipified that song. I don't like that they did that.
Yeah, it definitely is less. The energy is different, shall we say?
Yes,
different energy. We got another ukulele cover. Which, you know, I don't know if younger listeners will remember this, but there was a time that we can remember that. Between the years, I want to say of like 2007 to 2009 or 10, you legally had to buy a ukulele. It was mandatory law in the United States, especially if you were in college. You had to buy a ukulele. Yes. Mm-hmm. A few more covers. Okay, that one's not that interesting. Caroline, this should pique all of your interest right there. Look at that t-shirt.
Whoa, okay, I'm listening. Let's see what this gentleman has to say.
I think we're going somewhere. We're under something good here.
I love his voice. Oh, wow. Editing. Okay.
This was an 8-camera shoot, Grace.
Yeah.
one thing left. Kind of a musical theater.
He's got such musical theater.
He's definitely at school.
Oh my gosh, he's in Kentucky? Okay.
And we do have a chin cover as well.
I don't like this. I'm pressing on, pressing on. Well, what is stress going,
going on? Pressing on, pressing on. But the most accurate cover, I'd say, as far as
energy. Far, yes.
Okay, I'm going to be sending you an invoice for my lack of sleep from just that image.
Yeah,
your therapy appointments.
Just Venmo the GCF account. Yes. Yeah. And on it goes. I think we got our fair share of covers there.
The song inspires.
We see how durable this song is. The song, it kind of doesn't matter who the singer is. The song endures. Even these 20 years later. The song is 20 years old now.
That was what struck me as well when I was watching the music video. I was like, oh, these are children. Like at the time were fully adults in my mind, and looking at them, I was like, these are very, very young men. Like, oh my God.
That's so weird how that happens. How at the time I was like, these are the people who like know what's up. Like Matt Thiessen, like gets it.
Matthew Hoops,
like these guys know, they get it. They have their lives together. They know everything that I do not. I aspire to that level of like
they've
knowledge.
They've had girlfriends.
And confidence. And then you watch like the video back and you're like, oh, they're 19 or something, like 20, like they're kids.
Yeah, still clearly like wearing their own clothes as wardrobe for the music video that like was probably from a thrift store as well. It's like, oh, wow.
Now, Grace, did you feel the Christianity of the song as you remember listening to it as a child, or did it just feel like a generally perseverant song?
To be honest with you, I tried to not feel Christianity as much as possible in the Christian music that I was like presented with. I really wanted to not, because I was making like mixtapes for my like secret girlfriend, and so I needed them to like tone. Yeah, that's the thing that cracked me up was like, did you see the singer from Sanctus Real had like a thing about, I think he's maybe beginning his like process of like deconstruction or something, but he was talking about how he believes people who have said that they've been harmed by the church, but he's never experienced that harm. And like, he doesn't, you know, it's something that he's sort of like wrestling through. Okay. And I remember thinking that was so funny because I'm like, sir, your music was used in a secret mixtape to my girlfriend at the time because of certain religious things would have been a problem for us. And like I only had your music and other music like it. So I had to use songs like Pressing On, and like Switchfoot songs were really good because they're very vague most of the time. And like Sanctus Real as well. You have to find the right combination of like, this is not too, like my girlfriend is not going to think I'm worshiping her.
The music I know. Yes. Yeah.
It needs to be like, I love you and I adore you and I'm devoted to you, but not like in a really intense, like you are my deity way. You have to find that balance. And so that's what I really appreciate about. And also Reliant K would have songs about girls too. And so, or like, they'd have famously love songs on the record. Yeah.
Well,
they had a whole book, actually.
I got it. Yes, that they, this Deconstructing a Female Mind. What's the book called? I did buy it. It's on my Kindle. Sorry.
They had a book.
Tough. They break down like classifications of girls, like the cheerleader, the vanilla girl, the, I don't know,
the whore.
High school stereotypes.
I have to ask Grace, what else was on, if you can recall, what else was on the mix to the secret GF?
Well,
what'd you leaven it with to say like, you're not God, don't worry, it's okay?
It was honestly, it was pretty rough. I feel so embarrassed. POD was definitely on there.
Absolutely. She was the youth of the nation to you. Yes.
Yeah, there's like POD, 12 Stones. I don't think, to be honest, I don't think she loved any of these mixes. Like, I think that, you know, we obviously were, you know, we had our little like young love and whatever. But I do remember there was one time I asked her like, oh, what did you think of this mix? Because I made like a few. And she was like, it was loud. And I was like, okay, you hated it. I can't, and I don't know what to do.
Loud? Her note is, it was loud?
Yeah.
That's like going to your friend's play and saying, I like the lights.
Like, okay. You try putting like Pilar on like a tape for someone that you're in love with. Like, it doesn't go over well. It's a miracle that I had anyone that would receive these tapes in the first place.
Can I tell you the 21st century, because it's been a long time since either of you have made a mix for someone that you may or may not be interested in. I will tell you the 21st century equivalent of this is making a playlist for someone on Spotify.
Playlist.
And then checking to see how many followers it has, and it's saying zero.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, because if you sent it to them, they should follow
they
it.
They follow it, and then it
always
appears
opening
in their
the
playlist
link
right.
to listen to it, right?
Right. Yeah. So that is the 24. I've heard from friends of mine.
That's how the kids are doing it.
Ouch.
But we had to, like, really pluck up the courage and create, like, a physical thing and, like, hand it or, like, deliver
it. You get to decorate
somehow.
The cover of it, too, which is kind of fun.
The artwork. Honestly, in some artwork. Ways, like, we are still kind of in touch, and I have always wanted to be, like, just for my own, I'd love to see what I made. Like, I spent yeah. so much time on some of these things. Like, I'm not sure if you have them. In some ways, it'd be extremely weird if you did. But also, like, she must have known the artistry that I went into. Like those, I would make little, like, pamphlets. Like, these were double CDs. I would, like, do all this, like, writing and intricate
wow.
artwork. And just to, like, see what my little, sweet little 15-year-old heart poured out in a yes. Reliant K song. Like, I'd be one, I wonder. Like,
oh, yes. I'd love to get your hands on that. Somehow.
Okay, well, maybe if she listens to the podcast, I'll be like, listen, if you're listening this far in, you might as well just DM me and you can send them back to me, and I would like to see what I made.
Girl, get your records back.
Yeah.
Which I don't know who I'm parroting right now. Is that Rachel Hollis or frickin' Corinne Bailey Ray? I guess it's both, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Rachel Hollis appropriate Corinne Bailey Ray culture by saying girl before giving
girl
a command?
Girl, do something from that.
I went down
do.
The Rachel Hollis rabbit hole at the beginning of quarantine. I had no idea who she was privately or, like, prior to this. And, like, there were a lot of YouTube
recap
videos.
That?
Yes, sir.
I don't remember what happened. Can you recap that? Like, what happened with that? I don't remember.
I mean, the short version is, like, plagiarism, I guess. Yeah.
I know that. Whoa.
Yeah, there was, like, well, just, like, plagiarizing, like, of quotes and not attributing them to the correct source. I think the most egregious of that was Maya Angelou. If I'm, again, like, you should double, you should, like, check my work, but I'm pretty sure. And then I think also just, it's basically a critique on toxic positivity and, like, girl boss
yes.
Culture and how that really isn't beneficial to a lot of people. But then you feel shamed if it doesn't align with you because you're like, why can't I be a girl boss? Like,
yeah,
because of the way
yeah.
that it's framed, you of course want to meet that standard, but it's actually really yes. an impossible standard. And then she, I think it was something like she got divorced while she was, like, selling a marriage boot camp, like, at the same time that the divorce was happening. It was kind of messy stuff. I don't know exactly the details, but I do remember the girl, like, her, the misattribution of quotes and how that sort
yeah.
of spiraled
well,
for her.
Famously, wow. yeah, it was a Maya Angelou quote, and she quoted it as, I know why the caged bird washes her face, which didn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, because her book was Girl, Wash Your Face or something like that. Yes. And it was about, like, don't be depressed, just get up.
Hey, why not be wide and affluent? You can do it, honey, or whatever she said. Yeah,
it's actually pretty easy for me.
Yes, everyone beware. Oh, boy. Anything else we want to talk about with pressing on? Anything we didn't cover that we can before we rate the song, give it a roast or toast? We're good. It sounds like, it feels like, man. All right. Well, you know how this works, Grace. It's a roast or toast. Toast, thumbs up. We're sending Matt and all those beautiful boys to heaven. Heaven bound. Or holy roast. That's when they go, they're taking an escalator down. I don't know why I personify it too. These people are going one place or the other. It's a song.
It's the song.
I should just personify the song. Like, oh no, a little song.
I do like it though,
because
it kind of ups the stakes a lot. It makes it seem a lot more important.
If you think about yeah. five people.
Like something's really going to happen.
Yes. Like there are consequences for these people.
Yeah.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
I'm going to give this a space between because, you know, part of me does recognize that this is a jam and it's a bop. And then the other part of me finds it deeply annoying. And I had
why?
To stop it when I was
Caroline,
like,
why
it.
Is it annoying to you?
But otherwise, I don't know. I don't have any really big problems with the content. It's just pure annoyance. But I do wish them well. And Matt Thiessen, wherever you are in whatever hovel in the mountainside, I hope you're having a good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We're going to turn to Grace now. Grace.
It's a toast. It's like got to be a major toast. This is an absolute bop. I have no notes. Now that I'm thinking about it as a woman that is tall, but is not looking down on him, like a really nice woman, I'm going to make a mixtape for my wife and include Pressing On as the opening track. I'm going to make her a playlist, a Spotify playlist.
We love our tall wives looking down on us.
We do. Yeah.
Growing up, we were taught not to value tall wives. And then we did a lot of research on feminism. I'm giving it a toast. They got the assignment. They completed it. with 100 out of 100. They made the grade. This is anthemic. This is an earworm. This is the score for a problematic teenage comedy from the early aughts that you have some nostalgia for, and then you rewatch and it's like, oh, this is actually kind of messed up. I shouldn't I shouldn't enjoy this, but I do, you know, they are funny. Zac Efron is funny. What the hell was that sound?
I have no idea. That, that came from you, Kevin, whatever
that was. Did you guys hear that too?
It was the sound of a child, wailing.
Like, yeah. Okay. Was it Gerber?
We did all
was
hear
it you
that.
Nutting or what?
No, wait, what we did hear that, right? Just,
yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, no.
That could have been a funnier sound to play.
The ghost, some ghost is haunting.
I think it sounded like Gerber. Right?
It was a Gerber.
The ghost of Gerber is haunting.
The spirit of Gerber demands airtime.
Wait, Caroline, the last time I was here, you said the funniest thing that has literally played in my head is something I find so funny if I'm ever feeling down. When you turned to me and you just said, you were like, I was once like you. I once didn't know who Gerber was back there. And you said it with like such a straight face. And for some reason, it was like something that I always remembered. Like it's been a year. And I just remember you were like, I was once like you. Like just like so sad that you were about to tell me about something. Gerber.
Yeah, it was a heart to heart. Oh, that was real pain in my eyes that you saw.
Yeah, you were like, I can't believe we have to do this to Sweet Sweet Grace.
There's pre-G and there's post-G, and we're all living in a post-G society now.
Yeah, A-G for better Herbert.
And or worse. We're not the final word on Pressing On, though. Go to @ChristianFunPod. You can give it a roast or toast yourself, so get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls!
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Here's something I was thinking about. Let's bring it down now. Let's bring the scents up and dim the lights and light the candles. We all know misogyny is everywhere and the patriarchy is real. Is Kamala a market corrective to how people often criticize Hillary's voice as being shrill, nasal, and annoying? So Kamala said, well, if that's the case, I'm going to talk like honey, baby. I'm not going to be shrill at all. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that possibly her strategy here?
I don't know. I don't really like comments on like women's voices and whether they're good or bad, or pitting two perfect, powerful women against each other like that. So
perfect, powerful women.
I'm going to stay out of this conversation.
Oh.
We need to support them. We need to lift them up.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Isn't it's the time for the lift-ups, right? Like, what are we lifting? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're just, okay. We're dimming the lights.
Yeah, good point, Grace. It's a lift-up time, not a tearing down.
Bring people down, Kevin.
Yeah, they have nothing right now, you know, and you're ripping them.
By the way,
already low.
Hillary Clinton doesn't have nothing. She has a podcast, and I did listen to it.
She has a podcast?
Oh, you did?
She does, and one of her guests was Sarah Cooper, and she said, Sarah, you've really gotten me through some hard times during quarantine.
Does Bill also have a podcast?
Has a podcast where he talks to women he assaulted. I'm just kidding. He talks to like Wynton Marsalis and stuff. Yeah, he has a podcast too. Everyone's going to have a GD podcast. Malia Obama is a staff writer on Donald Glover's new show. Everything's great. Oh boy. But yes, we're here to dim the lights, light the candles, and not to promote our projects or plug ourselves. We're here to lift our things up to the Lord. We start with Caroline, who is once again shocked.
I would like
and surprised.
To lift up Hillaria Clinton for all her great work. Lift me up at Caroline Svarts, should you care to do so. Today, it's a lot about the Mars rover Perseverance, and that's the kind of content you're going to get from me.
This is 2 weeks later.
I will be lifting up Lupin, this Netflix show about a really great like thief heist show, and it's a French show originally, but you can get dubbed over, you can get some captions on there, but I've just watched episode one and I really enjoyed it.
Sorry, Caroline, a croissant just fell out of your sweatshirt.
Oh, excuse me. I have been abroad. I've been to Paris twice. I don't like it when that shows,
yeah,
but you brought it up.
Paris.
So
yeah.
Lupin.
Totally. Lupin. All right. We turn it to Grace.
Yes. Thank you. I would like to lift up my EP, which is called Preacher's Kid, and my artist name is Semler. That's spelled S-E-M-L-E-R, and you can listen to it wherever you get your music. Mm-hmm. And if we chart on Billboard, then I don't know what I'll do, but maybe I'll shave my head and send you hair. I don't know.
Yeah, go really Sinead O'Connor.
You don't have to do that.
Okay.
Sinead O'Connor.
I just want to encourage people to listen to it. I hope you like it. Thank you. Bye.
Wait, does this reference make sense? You go Sinead O'Connor and then do an Instagram live where you hold up a picture of Kirk Cameron and tear it up and say, fight the real enemy?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, honestly, listen, if we crack Billboard, who knows? There are no rules. There are no rules at this point.
Unmatched power.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, terrific. Anything you've seen, watched, or enjoyed, listened to recently that you want to lift up? Any recommendations?
I'm always here to share some queer content for you to consider, and please. I have really enjoyed The Wilds on Amazon, which is about a group of girls who've been like marooned on an island under some maybe dubious circumstances. Ooh. And gay things do happen.
Ooh.
I think that should have been the tagline of the show, because that
gay
tells me more about it than those posters did. Gay things
exactly.
Happen.
Yeah,
that also exactly. Sounds like it'll scratch the itch that Society Season 2 will never be able to scratch from.
Oh my God, what a tragedy. I'm very sad about
you know?
That.
Yes. Very sad. Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, thank you, Grace. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I will lift up Judas and the Black Messiah. Come on. That's the favorite movie I've seen that's come out this year. As we are recording this, we're a month and a half into the
year.
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
Gorgeous movie. Okay, so that's me. Oh, and at KevinBaconShop.com, buy some cookies. They're so good. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Munchy, munchy, munchy. If you don't live in LA County, buy them for a friend. I'll take them to their house and freak them the fuck out on accident.
So I can buy cookies?
You cannot buy them. I can give them to you for free because you're my friend.
Aww.
Come on.
That's but you also wouldn't know if I did buy cookies. Like, you wouldn't, if I like changed my name, you like wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know if you changed your name. No, I mean, I would try to figure it out, but no.
He knows your address.
Yes, and it is fun to see addresses for friends of mine who have bought cookies and realized, oh, you have a very nice house. Didn't see this coming.
Pretty.
So yes, we love wealth inequality. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. For the month of March, we have a new charity. Grace, do you want to describe what this charity is to us?
I would love to.
Thank you.
My friend Faith is starting this new initiative that you can follow on GoFundMe. And let me pull up the photo with all the information. I just shared it on my Twitter, so follow me at Twitter. Follow me at twitter.com.
And follow Grace at twitter.com.
So the campaign is called Open Your Heart to Help House Us, and HOUSE stands for helping our underserved sisters equally through supporting the community, facilitating access into transformative housing. And there's all this information on Faith's GoFundMe, and Faith is a really dear friend of mine who's like been out basically just helping unhoused LGBTQ+ people get the care that they need, establish housing. And this is like a really big campaign that Faith is creating right now to try and establish a nonprofit and basically like get caseworkers and compensate them for their time. And if you're interested in learning more, there's going to be a link in the show notes. And I would really encourage you to like check out Faith's work, because they're just such a dear friend of mine, and they work their ass off for this cause, and they're the real deal. So they just launched this GoFundMe. You can be part of it. And even if you can't, I would love it if you could share.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Grace, for sharing that. And thank you for being on the show today. What a
thank
fun
thank you so much for having me. It's always so good
time.
To see y'all. I really, like, I've been so looking forward to speaking with you. When Kevin was like, just confirming if we're doing this, I was like, yes, we are, Kevin. I love you guys. We're doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
What a
perfect one-year anniversary to take another slice of your time out of your generosity.
And here's what we have to do until the year the podcast ends. We make a pledge. We meet up every March until
every March.
The podcast ends to see how our lives have changed. And maybe March 2022. I'm not.
Yeah,
no,
you,
I'm not
it's
kidding.
It's not a joke.
We will
I'll be back in March
to this. I
yes.
know.
I'll be back.
So
we're
gonna,
you're gonna
do
need it.
To create some sort of other big project within the next year as
listen,
well.
Listen,
or who knows? Maybe
DM
I'll go
y'all,
viral.
But I have some plans. I have some
okay,
plans.
Great. Yes.
And God always has a plan. And there's nothing left to say except for an all pots people said
amen.
Grace, do you want to still go out with a Reliant K song of your choice, or a similar song?
Oh, come
of
on.
Your
let's
choice?
Do some similar.
Okay.
That'll be
yay!
Fun.
Which song
yes.
would you like for us to go out on?
Why not Jesus from Texas?
Jesus from Texas. Brought it up. Hey, I'm all, yes. You know what? I'm from Texas. Well, I was born in Oklahoma, but I moved to Texas when I was 5, and so I'm technically from Texas. I was raised in Houston. Well, technically it's Kingwood, which is suburbs, just north of Houston.
Okay, Hilaria.
And so
you are a Texan man. And so like full Texan.
Arcade Fire put out an album called The Suburbs, which is about the suburbs of
your blood is queso instead of blood. Yes. We get it.
And so, okay, so here is Jesus from Texas by Sibler. All right, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
My mom turned 18 in the 1960s, and she does remember Stonewall.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.